not all courage looks like action at first. Sometimes courage is just our willingness to completely change our perception about something, about ourselves, about the parts that we play.
What's up, family? Welcome back to the Stop Sinking Show, where we go from struggle to flow. I start today with a quote that goes, "Being aware of a single shortcoming within yourself is far more useful than being aware of 1,000 in someone else." The reason I'm paraphrasing this as the term actionable awareness is because no matter how many faults you can point out in someone else, there's not much you can do about it. The only thing you can do something about is from knowing your own faults, knowing where you fall short, knowing where you fail. And even actioning, that is difficult. Growing up, my mother always said this saying to me. She said, "It's hard enough to have control over your own fingers, how they bend, how they move, how much control and dexterity you have over them. If you had to control just your own fingers and move them in specific patterns or put them in certain shapes to hold an instrument even, that control is already very difficult to assert. And they're your own damn fingers. So where is the sense in pointing out faults and issues in someone else? There's no control available in there for you. You can barely control yourself." And this is easy to understand, but hard to apply. We can't help but assert our will, our perspective, our ideas of right and wrong onto others, especially when emotionally charged, which is usually the case when we are in a position and a situation to play fault finder in the first place. The only reason you are even thinking about the shortcomings or faults of someone else is because you are in some sort of conflict with them. And that emotional charge from the conflict blinds you even more to being able to see the part that you are playing. You need some distance from that emotion. And having a practice of reflection in which you steel man the arguments of your opponent, the other party, your boss, your spouse, your friend. You need to put yourself in their shoes and think about the 1,000 faults and shortcomings of yours that are coming and occurring to them while they are blinded to theirs that you can easily point out. And not everyone does this or can see themselves honestly. Not many of us even have the courage to take the ownership and accept our mistakes and faults, even in thinking about them, let alone saying them out loud. We can't even say them to ourselves. Most of our emotional charge just expends into protecting our ego, and we usually just seek evidence to prove our righteousness. It would be too threatening to someone who doesn't want to actually get better in life through the years to have to question his entire identity and possibly accept the responsibility for the way that things are and the part that they played in that. The person who wants to improve will put the sword down and do an honest reflection and look at himself. There's also a possibility that you indulge in the faults of others as a way to make yourself feel better about yourself. The reason we are drawn to reality TV and gossip or talking about celebrities falling from grace with legal battles or marital issues is because on some level, it makes us feel better about ourselves. It makes us feel morally superior. No matter how bad your life is, you can say, "At least I'm not as bad as these people." And there we hide our greatest potential in the faults of others. We point at the shortcomings of others as a smoke and mirrors, as a disguise, as a pathetic attempt to try and draw attention away from our own shortcomings. And as we desperately attempt to hide our flaws, we bury our ability to see the greatest avenues of growth for us. All that energy spent on pointing fingers is better spent on what is in your own personal purview, what is right in front of you, under your nose, about yourself. If you take an honest look, there are equally as many things you need to work on yourself. If you want to feel better about yourself, you can always and will always have available to you a cohort of people to look at below you who are doing worse than you. And maybe it's okay to look here every now and then when you need an occasional boost. But I wouldn't stay here too long. Because if you really want to improve,
If you really want to feel inspired and motivated, you look at people above, doing better than you, working through their shortcomings and mowing their own lawn, worried about themselves before being worried about someone else and what they're doing. And sure, if you live here all the time, you will feel crushed by the weight of your own expectations to live up to the people doing better than you. This is where the whole game of comparison needs to be played cautiously, if at all. The reason to do any of this is for its utility, its usefulness. Although the most visible benefit of not being focused on the faults of others will show up in your relationships, because you will be more willing to give grace to someone and maybe forgive somebody, and knowing that you too have your edges and your faults. The real benefit is, though, in the growth that it will provide you, because you change your sight from looking outward to looking inward. You develop your courage by being able to admit things to yourself that even you wish weren't true. And then eventually, maybe, just maybe, you summon up enough energy to try and affect the positive change within yourself in that area that you have recognized. Not all courage looks like action at first. Sometimes courage is just our willingness to completely change our perception about something, about ourselves, about the parts that we play. Then the things that you once lamented about yourself, about the way that things are, become your greatest source of confidence because you braced yourself and tackled them. That's the most useful thing you can do to affect yourself. It's the most productive outcome. One thing, even a small thing about yourself, when seen, when uncovered, can be the greatest source of growth. One thing, then 1,000 other things you can point to outside of yourself. One finger can hide the sun. One concept, misbelief, one misinterpretation, mistakenly held onto, just one can hide the entire truth of who you are. It's not only that it's a waste to look at someone else's fault. It's more so that looking there, being focused there, is possibly the most detrimental thing that you can do with your energy, the riskiest way to spend your energy. It leads to absolutely zero action steps in there for you. And action is the only way that we physically alter the world around us. JP says, the issue is not so much the blindness of others, even though there's as much blindness among others as there is for you. But the issue is less about them and more that you should be concerned about what's interfering with your own vision first. He says, if your mode of being, if the way you operate is to look outside and say, if you would just act better, then things would improve for me. Or if you identify an evil and an issue that's something that's outside that someone else needs to fix, that someone else needs to respond to, then obviously you're not going to fix that because you're looking outside for the solution and you're giving them the responsibility. And then you're also going to remain blind to the things that you are doing or not doing that would make things go well for you or better for you. Ultimately, it's just better to think, I'm probably blind in many ways, and maybe there are some ways I could fix that. It's just more useful to think this. How is it that I'm wrong in this situation? You can sit and think, of course it's their fault. Of course they are the cause. At least 95% of it is their fault. But maybe there was something I did that contributed to the 5% of it. And opening up to that 5%, you could learn so much about yourself. There was a corny saying growing up that comes to mind. Anytime you point a finger at someone else, there's 3 more pointing back at you by your own hand. With every one fault you find in someone else, there's 3 bent and buried and hidden that you are failing to see in yourself. And pointing fingers might make you feel good for the moment. It might make you feel vindicated to be able to point out all the ways another person is wrong or has wronged you. But unless you look at yourself, you will have no long-term solution of how you don't find yourself in these scenarios over and over again. You will recreate these same situations over and over again and be stuck in a never-ending feedback loop in which you neatly point the blame at someone else and go back to living in your self-righteous ways, which will again bring you back in the same situation with a different face with a different name. You will go your whole life looking outside, needing medicine for ailments, for hurts, in which you can conveniently criticize your assailants and the part that they played in your injury, while the whole time, the cure is you. I love you, family. Stay true always. I'll see you on the next show.